Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hello and welcome to Slam Fire Radio, episode 58 for May 23rd, 2014. I'm Owen Flelling.
Welcome back. Welcome. It's been a while.
Thanks. It's been so long I forgot the name of the show, almost.
And your name, apparently.
And my name. I had to look and see who's supposed to be lead this week. Oh, yeah, that's my name there.
I was just waiting for you to say I'm Ron Burgundy. I was going to come right to my microphone.
Oh, dear. Yeah. No, it's been a while. I have been gone for two shows now. Two? Three?
Two. Yeah.
It seems like forever.
This would have been your third, and, you know, had you missed it, we would have had to break your arms again.
Again? Break my other arm? Yeah, and you know what the really pathetic thing is? In the last 3 weeks that I've been gone, I haven't done anything with guns. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have been worth having on with us anyway.
Pretty much. I'm pretty much worthless. I'm surprised you guys haven't figured that out by now.
Shameful. I think it's your warm, charming personality that we keep you around for.
Yeah. That's got to be it. Yeah. We'll go with that.
If I wanted to cause Matthew editing right now, I'd probably swear at you.
Well, thank you for not. For now.
So, Matthew, do we get to introduce ourselves this week, or we just...
No, we are the silent partners, apparently.
Oh,
except we're not so silent, are we?
Yeah. Thank heavens.
Unnamed partners.
Yeah.
This would be a boring show if you guys were silent.
It would be.
Especially last week and the week before.
Yeah. Tune in next week to hear more of... That's right.
So, Matthew, what did you do with this week with guns?
I didn't do anything, really. I shot the airsoft a little bit, shot the air pistol a little bit, the pellet gun. Okay. That's basically it. Incidentally, my next-door neighbor, they have a kid who's about, I'd say, 10. Saw him in the backyard shooting his new air pellet rifle this afternoon, so that was kind of cool.
Nice.
But I didn't go over.
Did you approach?
I was going to, but I didn't, because he speaks only French, and I speak only English, and...
And you didn't want to get shot.
And I didn't want to get shot. He had a pellet gun. You know, those things sting. So,
probably what would have happened is he would have dropped it. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh. Yeah. I did take a gun for a walk in the woods. Does that count?
Yep.
I went to my bear bait and I carried my .22 with me. So that's
true. We did actually carry our .22s this week, didn't we, Owen?
Yep.
Yeah, I helped Owen build a bear bait. That's, I guess, that sort of gun related, because hopefully I'll be sitting in it in the next week or two shooting a bear.
Is that the picture that you posted recently on Facebook?
Yes.
No, I thought that was perhaps one of your own that you were setting up. So that's one that you'd be working on with Owen.
Yes. No, I wouldn't go out and shoot a bear on my own at this point, because I've never shot one before. So I kind of want to do it with either you or Owen, because you guys kind of know what you're doing. So.
Yeah. I'm back into her next year. Next year I'm taking off. Working on the range and black badge and teaching and all that stuff, I'm getting back into hunting. And this year I'll do more bird hunting because wrapped up. Well, it's fun, but I mean, we're also wrapped up. After SummerSlam is early this year. And then after SummerSlam, we've got nothing until, we got Tommy and then Daniel. But between Tommy and Daniel, there's almost 2 months.
Yeah, so we'll have lots of time to get into the woods and get after them birds. That'll be fun. Mm-hmm. It's not even summer yet, Trevor, and we're already amping up for fall? Come on. Let's enjoy the summer, for crying out loud.
I was in Kent's store the other day, and the manager at the local one is a waterfowl hunter. And so I met him in one of the aisles there, and I said, only three months. A little over 3 months. He's like, he kind of looks at me strange. He's like, till what? I was like, well, only 3 months till goose season. I was like, whoa, that's hard to believe.
Yeah. No, like I said, I didn't do a whole lot, so we might as well skip right on to Trevor and see what he did with guns this week.
Very busy week. Mostly preparation for this weekend's Black Badge course. But thankfully, I did get some shooting in there. Black Badge is fixing up to be the smallest one ever. I think as of 7:30 tonight, we're down to 5.
Oh, that is a pretty small one.
Yeah. Yeah, we were at 6, and now we're down to 5. So a lot of scrambling at the last minute. Haven't been able to get on the range. I almost feel caught off guard. We do it the same time every year, but this last 2 weeks I've been suddenly in panic mode to scramble, like, oh my God, we got to get stages together, got to get instructors together, I got to prepare the materials. So it's been kind of go, go, go. And the software I used to use for building stages, I've having issues, not going to get into it, but I've had to find a new way to make stages on the computer. And what I ended up doing is so terrible. I'm not.
It doesn't involve a Sharpie and whiteout, does it?
It does now, actually. It's pretty pathetic, yeah.
You're not doing that on the computer screen, are you, though?
Yeah, and then you should see the mess of the photocopier, but that's another story for another day. Cheek marks. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, let's keep going here.
So, anyway, it's not like me to be scrambling at the last minute and stuff. But what I did was, well, we like to start the season building stages that are very similar to what they will be at SummerSlam. So there's less rushing at the last minute to prepare for the SummerSlam stages. So whenever we have lots of time on the schedule, we'll put a couple of SummerSlam stages into all of our level 2 matches leading up to SummerSlam. We don't have any. You're talking about enjoy the summer, Matthew.
Yeah.
This weekend is Black Badge. Next weekend there's the Balmoral, where the club is located, the range is located. They're having a festival, and like their annual town festival.
Mm-hmm.
And they've asked us to put on a shoot. So Black Badge this weekend, festival shoot next weekend, Black Badge and Miramichi the weekend after that. Then Mo's putting on a clinic. Then it's the Southern New Brunswick 250. Then it's the charity shoot. And then it's eat and breathe the range until SummerSlam, because SummerSlam is on the 17th of July. So June, every weekend in June is booked. And then it's work on the range till SummerSlam.
Wow.
And that then is gonna maybe be busy. See my wife once, and then Tommy's in town. So
I hope
gone.
The two are unrelated.
Yeah, me too. So anyway, coming back to SummerSlam, or not SummerSlam, but this weekend's Black Badge. I was out there last night. Tonight, everything is finally all set up. For a while, we only had 4 stages, and then I was like, all right, now I can do a little bit better with a bit more help. So I went back to work today, designed 2 more stages. Now, granted, one of the stages is very simple. You're standing in a box 7 meters away from your target. Draw and shoot 2.
Hey, that's a stage.
It is actually a stage, and it's a stage that's appeared at world championships many times over the years.
Yep.
And the record is, I don't know the exact time, but it's under a second, draw and shoot 2 alpha.
Wow. That's pretty quick.
So it's something to push yourself towards. 7 meters away, you know, it's not 3 meters, that's for sure, right? Draw and shoot 2 alphas in under a second from 7 meters?
Yeah, you got to be on your game.
Yeah, there have been a couple of shooters in the world that have done it, but not very many. I'm sure you could count them on one hand. The open gun, I bought this fancy schmancy double alpha Seymour sight mount from Matt Lorette that has a built-in blast shield and a built-in kickstand for doing table starts. It props the gun up on one side, and it has its own thumb rest. There were no screws with it, and Matt Lorette found the right size screw, but they were aluminum and they just would not stay tight into the steel frame of the gun.
Even with Loctite or anything, eh?
No. So twice I've been out now, sighted in the gun, go out the next time, the sight's not on. Oh, look at that, my sight's loose. So I had to rush home tonight, take out the old original factory STI mount and the RHT thumb rest and anyway, I got that all back together, and now I got to go tomorrow, run back to the range to get the gun sighted in, then go back to school and get ready to teach the Black Badge course so that I'm not trying to sight in the gun minutes before the match on Sunday. So
yeah, because you wouldn't want to, you know, you wouldn't want to shoot your black badge with, you know, like your Glock or something.
I didn't put all this time and energy into my 1911 wannabe gun to go take a gun that worked reliably. That would make no sense.
Right.
And this stinking thing, I'm hoping and praying that it's the ammunition, but I'm still getting countless, and I do mean countless, stovepipes. A couple every 100 rounds.
It's not good, man.
No. I'm hoping it's the ammo. I really do. I'm going back to a more proven recipe now that the that pound of powder is all used up, and it's basically practice ammo, and it's practicing malfunction drill ammo.
Well, those are good things to practice.
Yeah, well.
But if you can get your gun running a little smoother for actual competition, that'd be great.
Yeah. Sal has the same gun, and he doesn't get any issues like I've been having. The only thing that I changed on the gun since I bought it was I put it in an Aftec extractor, which ironically is supposed to improve the reliability. I do have the extractor that came with the gun, and when I go back to this other recipe, if I'm still having issues, then I'll go back to the factory extractor and see if that solves it.
Right.
Because, I mean, the gun has a fresh set of springs in it, and there's been no modifications other than the I've changed the extractor.
Probably just limp-wristing it or something.
It must be. Must be. Sean Hansen had the gun with my quote-unquote good ammo.
Yeah.
And he had no issues with it.
Oh, okay.
So he figured you were running grease in a tight tolerance gun in the wintertime, and that was your problem.
Maybe.
So, who knows? That's it for me. How about you, Owen? Did you do anything other than walk with a 22 in the woods?
No, that was pretty much it.
If it had been your KSG, we'd entertain, you know, hearing about it. But since it was a 22, we might as well just move on.
Well, it was a 22 with a red dot sight on it. Does that count?
It does. That's tactical.
We even practiced, you know, sort of patrol style movement through the woods, of course. You know,
of course.
One person running point, another person running rear.
We basically discovered that point is the guy that gets shot first, and he's basically just the forward scout. He doesn't even need a gun. You just need somebody out there to get shot so you know where the people are shooting you from.
Yep. So, Trevor, that's going to be your job.
I was just going to say, who's the other guy we're letting onto the team? Because I'm really hoping that's not why I'm a member, you know?
Well, let's just say we're not too upset that your guns aren't terribly reliable right now. I'm just teasing you, Trevor.
Oh, you know what? It's funny, though. We talked about this at the range today. All these liberal wannabes that know that we have guns that make that comment, when the apocalypse starts, I'm coming to your place. And one of the guys is, I'll leave his name out of it, but he is a listener. One of the guys that was with me at the range today, he goes, those people that think they're coming to my house when the apocalypse starts, they're getting shot. It's like, I don't know if I'm going to shoot them, but they're certainly not invited because they can't contribute.
That's basically
and then
it.
One other guy says, well, I'm going to so-and-so's place because he's got a whole pile of guns. And so, you know, people with all kinds of guns, when the apocalypse starts, they're going to get killed because people are going to want to take their guns. I'm like, you're missing the finer points here.
Yeah, yeah. They've got the guns. If you're going to his house to kill him to take his guns because you don't have any guns, let's think this one through one more time, shall we?
Yeah, yeah. The same guy whose Glock I hammered, and I literally, like, threw it onto the bench and unloaded, of course. He was having a hard time hitting. I'm like, well, your grip is messed up. And I explained the whole concept that the trigger pull on the Glock weighs more than the weight of the Glock, and if your grip isn't really good, you're going to have a hard time to be accurate with it. Stop wasting your bullets. Dry fire at those plates and look at your front sight. Tell me if the front sight moves when you dry fire. You say, well, I know it does. Well, here's your problem.
Yeah.
Get it to stop doing that.
I can't figure out why I can't hit that target because I know my sights aren't on it, but still, those bullets should, you know, just home right in.
You sound just like them. I'm not kidding. This is the level this dude was at, right? And, oh my God, I feel awful because he asked how he could find the show. Listen, buddy, don't listen to this episode, okay? Anyway. So, I threw a stapler at him. We call them names. None of these things seem to help. I don't understand. Bullying did not make him a better shooter. But no, so anyway, he's blaming the gun. So I went over and I'm like, look, dude, it's a Glock. And I like threw it onto the bench in front of him. I banged it on the bench. I may have rubbed it on my groin a little bit, whatever. Picked it up, loaded it, and five shots, five plates. Ding, 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 ding. Said, see, dude, it's not the gun. And I don't think he likes me. I don't know why.
But, well, you've got this way with people. They're usually drawn right to you. No, wait.
I don't know. Let him take it up with his therapist. I don't, you know, it's not my problem.
Well, if you are listening, on behalf of Trevor, I'm sorry.
He knows I love him. I just That's good. Have a funny way of showing it.
Right. Cool.
By throwing staplers at him. And then he's like, what'd you throw the stapler at me for? Well, let's review. I said, hit the plates or I throw a stapler at you. I did my job. I followed through with what I said I was going to do.
You hit the plates and I wouldn't throw a stapler at you.
Yeah. So, and then I was leaving and I took one more cheap shot at him. No, he said something to my other buddy. I'm like, don't talk to him like that. You don't have the right to talk to him like that. He's like, I don't get it. He said, why am I not feeling any love? I said, he can hit plates. Awful. Anyway,
that is awful. So let's move on to the news here and upcoming events, I guess. Bunch of items. This list seems to get longer and longer, guys. we got a lot of stuff going on.
Yes, we do.
Slamfire Radio Flyer.
Hey, do what our listeners do and fast forward through it.
Yes, that's right. Fast forward through all this because none of it's important. No, don't fast forward through it. Jeepers. Because then I feel like I'd be wasting my time, and I don't want to waste my time. And
look,
I don't
you guys
waste
hardly
time.
Ever get to hear Owen speak, so you might as well tune in now and listen real close, because he's going to go through it all.
That's right. I'm gonna do this in my small print voice. Please turn off the publisher spot on the local generation store and library and post a picture. If you're posting on Facebook, win a spot on the show. 4th Annual Cherry Shoot, June 28th, 9 a.m. Registration fee $25. First max draw. Tickets are $3.20 or $10 each. Crack alarm. I can't even do it now. Okay,
I'll go back.
Yeah, all kinds of fail. I'll go back to the top again. So we have some people actually, I noticed, taking pictures with our flyer. This is a contest that we've kind of been running to print off our Slamfire Radio flyer and post it at a local gun range store, wherever you want to post it. And you have to post a pic of yourself posting it.
Yep.
I guess it's a selfie. Take a selfie of you with a Slamfire poster. And you could possibly win a spot on the show. I think that means a chance to come on the show.
No, it basically means we're kicking Owen out because he never shows up and you get a spot.
Oh, yes! So everybody needs to go and do this as quickly as possible so I can get away from these two jokers. The 4th Annual Charity Shoot, that's June 28th with Steve Lee, so that's going to be a lot of fun. The Versamax draw. Tickets 3 for $20 or $10 each. EMT to rescuegunclub@gmail.com. And make sure you send the password to your EMT. We have, of course, the Practical Armed Response Academy shooting course, which we've been talking about for quite a number of months now, actually. And there's one space currently available, $200 due ASAP, that claims your spot. And Thunderbird Tactical Carbine Clinic. There are two spots available, I believe, and that is $200 as well. That's October 11th, so that's pretty exciting. I'm really looking forward to that one. And the Spring Swiss Arms Fork It Over fundraiser. And this is a dinner event in support of gun owners who have had their Swiss Arms rifles put in the prohibited class. The event takes place June 21st, and if you go to chrisandersonpresents.com, there's a bunch more info over there that you can check out the details on that. And if you want to go hunting and see stuff, so I guess this is unlike Matthew, you can buy a hunt on the 31st of May in Calgary at the SCI Dinner and Banquet.
Now, the irony here.
Yes.
Sorry. He said, unlike Matthew. Matthew, what does SCI stand for?
No idea.
It's funny. Safari Club International. I even think that Safari Club International is pushing for a Greenpeace season.
Interesting.
They are, they're very, very active in promoting hunting and hunting rights globally.
Good.
But you wouldn't know anything about that.
Not a clue. I don't go on safaris. I go on hunts.
You don't even do that. You go on walks.
I go on walks. I go walkabout.
All right. So let's move on to some listener feedback.
Okay. Hold on.
Hold on.
Yeah. We missed the email. What's that?
Oh, hold on. We missed the website. The website for that information on that.
Yeah. Just dinner. Toss it in there real quick.
www.sci-calgary.org to get information on that dinner and banquet.
All right. On to the main topic. Now, of course, I've been kind of, you know, had this sprung on me because for 2 weeks now, you guys have been telling the listeners I ran off with the topic.
Yes, you did. And what is it this week?
I don't even know what the topic is. I do now, but only because I just had it explained to me. So, Matthew, why don't you fill the listeners in so that they know what we're talking about?
Okay, well, a couple of weeks ago, and this is more like a month ago now because Owen's been away for so long. We've been wanting to do this for a while, but Owen just kept not being here. The Gun Dudes did a really cool kind of main topic where they did a four-gun draft pick. And the draft pick as in like an NFL or NHL draft pick where once you pick a specific firearm, nobody else can have that same gun. And we're going to go through and we're going to do three rounds unless it goes really quick, and then we'll do four rounds. So guys, have a fourth gun ready in your backup.
So I'm still trying to think of the first one.
See, Trevor and I have been thinking about this. We've got a strategy going on here already, and Owen's like a little behind the game. So the way this is going to work is we're going to have to apply the rules slightly differently for each type of firearm. So for instance, if somebody were to pick a Glock, that doesn't take out, or yes, it does. That would take out all polymer frame striker-fired pistols. It doesn't take out all semi-auto pistols. It only takes out all polymer frame semi-auto striker-fired. For instance, the AR-15. I know a billion different companies make the AR-15. So, because we want to keep this interesting, if somebody picks the AR-15, all AR-15s are now off the table.
That's fine because they're all AR-15s. It's like if I have one 1911, all 1911s gone.
That's
but if
right.
I take a Glock. All polymer pistols are not Glocks, but all AR-15s are AR-15s. You can't take all polymer pistols off the table just because somebody takes a Steyr or a Glock or a Walther.
Certainly I can. I'm making up the rules as I go along, and this is what I've done.
Sure. There goes.
We've got to keep it at least somewhat interesting. That means someone's going to end up with a CZ. So I have here a random list generator, and I've put in our three names. I'm going to click submit, and I'm going to see who gets to go first. Now, here's the way we're going to do it, guys. Whoever goes first, you're going to explain, you know, which firearm you want, and then you're going to explain why, and maybe talk about the gun a little bit too to keep it interesting. We don't want to say a gun and then move on. I mean, this is our main topic. Let's be interesting here. So the list is, in first place, Trevor. Woo-hoo! Second place, Glock. Matthew. And then Owen.
So now don't forget the Canadian twist.
That's right. Only one restricted firearm is going to be allowed in our list. Whether it's three or four, only one firearm can be restricted. So, with that in mind, Trevor, you get first pick here.
All right. Well, I'm definitely going with the Glock 17.
Okay, why?
Duh.
Where do I begin? It's lightweight. It's reliable. There is lots and lots of availability of parts. Readily available. Thank you. Parts are readily available. Parts are affordable. You have many different magazine options with regards to capacity. If you were in a free world, you could have 10-round capacity, 17-round capacity, 33-round capacity. You could drop it inside a carbine or carbine, whatever way we're pronouncing it this week, kit. The accurate, easy to shoot. Just goes on and on and on.
Yes.
But, yeah, Glock 17, definitely all the way for the win. In 9mm because of capacity. I can hold more rounds of 9 than I can any other caliber. And let's face it, 9mm is no longer an anemic round. You can get as much done with a 9 as almost any other round. Is it a 357 SIG? No. But does it need to be? No. I have other guns on my list when I need more knockdown power. But for what I would want to knock down with a Glock, with a handgun, 9mm will do the same job as anything else.
Yep.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, that definitely would have been my first pick as well. I'm saddened and appalled, really, that you wouldn't think of me first before your own needs, and that you would go ahead and really? Snatch up the perfect firearm, you know, seriously? Wiping all other polymer frames off the table.
Well, that's your fault. You did that. You did that. But now you get to take a .22 pistol, because let's face it, we know that's what you want.
Well, that's the thing. I really do want a .22 pistol, but I really want a 9mm pistol as well. And so here's what I'm thinking. A CZ.
Oh, sorry. I could also put a conversion kit on the Glock 17.
Exactly. That's why I was thinking the CZ, because I can get a cadet kit for it. CZ, probably the SP-101 Shadow or something similar. It's a combat-styled 9mm handgun. They're definitely heavier than the Glock. But on the upside, it is a metal frame, which means it might be better for pistol-whipping people with. I'm just saying, you know, should we come to a situation where somebody needs to be pistol-whipped, you know, the CZ will do a good job at that, you know. And I'm probably not going to break it. And there's probably a good...
Go ahead, finish.
No, go ahead.
I don't know if I would go for the Shadow or even the Shadow line. I think just a straight-up CZ-75 would be fine. You're still getting an all-metal gun, but you're not getting the extended dust cover. So you're actually saving some weight.
That's actually a good call. I like that. Yeah, I think maybe I'll go with the 75 or maybe the 85. The 85 is just the ambidextrous version of the 75, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So maybe the 85 then. I do like ambidextrous pistols. So yeah, you know, .22 conversion kit for it. Like Trevor said, like he'd do the same thing with his Glock. It's still a small enough, lightweight enough firearm that I would be able to use it for self-defense situations, still be able to conceal it effectively if need be, and of course still able to shoot my beloved .22 caliber through it in situations where 9mm is just not necessary. So... yeah, I, you know, double action, single action, I mean, that's a drawback if you're shooting production in IPSC. And if I'm not, because, you know, if in the real world I'm carrying this gun for, I can just carry it cocked and locked. It's not a big deal. So single action trigger pull all the way. So I don't see that as being a negative, you know, reliability issues, you know, maybe a little bit more than what you would expect with a Glock, but still, I mean, it is the number one firearm in Europe for civilians to own, and it's that for a reason. It's a good gun. So I'd prefer the Glock, but since Trevor stole it, I'll take the CZ.
Stole it.
Yes. No, I'm using that term correctly. Am I saying it right? Stole? You're a thief, burglar. Am I getting my point across? Okay, here.
Yeah.
Malfeasant.
Somebody give this guy a tissue while Owen goes next.
All right, yeah, Owen.
Pick a pistol next?
You don't have to pick a pistol. You can pick anything you want.
Matthew, sorry. Are you going to carry that CZ-75 in your purse?
I might carry it in my purse. Yeah, it's a man purse. Same purse Jack Bauer carries, full of guns.
I have an interesting Jack Bauer tidbit for you. We're scrolling off.
Yes, no, scroll away. Give Owen a second to think.
How many seasons was the show on?
Several. Five, I think. Five or six?
Four or five.
Okay.
Okay, call it five or six.
Sure.
So then in the Jack Bauer world, that's 6 days, right?
Right.
You ever added up how many people that man killed in 6 days?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. That guy's a maniac. He's a homicidal maniac.
He's blown up buildings full of people.
Yeah.
So, like...
In six days.
He's killed more people than probably the U.S. government.
He is the U.S. government.
There you go. All right, Owen, what do you got?
All right, well, I'm going to stick with the pistol theme just because you guys did, and I think that's fair.
Okay, well,
so that's fine. No, I don't take the AR or something like that.
because then you'll accuse me of stealing that. So I'm going to go with the DL-44 heavy blaster pistol.
Right.
What? Is that the? That's not Han Solo's blaster,
yes.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's highly modifiable. It's accurate. Heavy punch, but doesn't lose accuracy. It's
that's a Mauser broom handle. You realize, right?
Whatever. And yeah, and again, it's a lot of individuals carry it. Smugglers, bounty hunters, the rebellion. There's probably parts all over the galaxy. So, that's yeah.
All right. So DL-44 for Owen.
You didn't Matthew. See that one coming.
Send Matthew.
Yeah.
Send Amy a text and remind her to tell Owen to take his meds.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. No, Filthy's going to feel right at home with us. Well, he's not. He's going to be a bit more wary of Owen from now on because Filthy knows the good guys carry the DL-44s.
So a red shirt and a stormtrooper get in a firefight.
Oh, yeah.
Stormtrooper doesn't hit anything, but the red shirt dies anyway.
Yeah, that's basically what happens, yeah.
No,
so back to me?
Yeah. No, sure. Owen needs to pick a real gun.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. You've taken both my...
stuck him with the Mauser.
Taken both my choices.
Well, here's the thing. We can't now pick any other restricted, so if you want to hold off and think about your restricted choice till later, you can.
Yeah, I might. Okay, I'm gonna go with a M14.
No, we're on handguns.
We don't have to be on handguns, Trevor.
You keep changing the rules.
No, all I said is you can only pick one restricted. I didn't say what order you got to pick the restricted in. Pick whatever gun you want.
Oh, now he should have to pick a handgun.
No, I disagree. So he wants an M14.
All right, fine. Let him have the M14. I don't care.
M14. Well, all right, why, Owen?
I'm changing my mind now.
Okay.
Good. If you guys can't pick restricted, that means nobody's going to pick the AR.
That's right. That means you can't have a handgun.
No, that's right.
But does it mean you can't have a handgun?
Well, that's
think
true.
Think carefully, young Padawan.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm going to go with... there's so many choices and scenarios and what is this for?
This is for everything. These are the only guns you get from now to the end of time. This has to entertain you. This has to be something that you introduce new shooters to. You have to use this for competition. If you want to continue with competitions, this has to be good for the end of the world scenario, hunting, survivability. These are the guns you get for every situation that you would ever possibly fathom.
Okay.
So choose wisely.
Yeah, that's a major problem. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go M14.
That's a good choice. The M14 is a great choice. Why? Now tell us why. First of all, what is the M14 for people who may not know?
The M14. I probably would actually go Norinco M305, mm-hmm. which is the Norinco knockoff of it. It's a milsurp really. 308 caliber, more of a sort of a older style battle rifle. I'm going with it just because I think mostly because that's where what I'm interested in getting next, and so that's why I'm thinking about it. And I like the fact it has decent mid to long-ish range abilities with the right scope, and it's still a semi-automatic, so you can still have a semi-automatic with, in a free world, we could have, 20-round magazines or something for it with some capacity. So it wouldn't be the most ideal short, close-range weapon, but because it's semi-automatic, you could get away with it. Well, just because of its size, because it is going to be a little bit longer rifle. I still will get the shorty, but it's just not going to quite work the same. You get a big scope on it, something like that. But again, it could double up in a tight situation as a close range weapon. So that's, but again, it can still reach out. It's got plenty of stopping power for hunting purposes.
How about this, Owen?
Yeah. Trevor, how about you move your mic a bit closer to your mouth?
How about this one?
Yeah.
You get the shorty, mm-hmm. and you put a scope on top, but you put a 45-degree mount on it with a red dot on the side. Yeah. So if you have to use it close range, 50 meters in, you use the red dot. 100 meters out, you use your scope.
Yeah, or 100 meters out, I use my red dot. Yep.
Yeah, but if you really want to stretch it out to 200, 300, and 400, yes. which you can.
Yep, you still got the red dot. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. The only downside to it is it's going to be a lot more expensive to shoot. You're not going to shoot it as much as you would an AR, for example, just based on the fact that the ammunition is going to be, you know, a lot more expensive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So back to you.
I'm going to go with the Mossberg 590.
You jerk. That takes all Mossberg 500s off the list. All right, Mossberg 590. Trevor, I know it's because you loathe me, but dig in the knife a bit deeper and twist it and tell us why you've chosen this perfect shotgun.
Well, because it's perfect.
Well, what is it, first of all?
Okay, it is a...
The shotgun.
12 gauge pump action shotgun. Yes, 12 gauge pump action shotgun. That's what I was going for there. Okay.
What I'm trying to get across is it's not a hunting style 12 gauge pump action shotgun. The Mossberg 590. The U.S. military uses the Mossberg 590 A1. So it's black, plastic, synthetic. It has an extended magazine tube on the bottom, so you've got, you know, pretty decent capacity. Mine will hold 9 rounds of 2 3/4. It's a rough, rugged, tough gun. The action and trigger on my 870 are far superior, and I am not exaggerating. I believe they are far superior to those on the 590 A1, but this is a truck. It's not a Ferrari. And the action and the trigger are good enough for what it is. It's super reliable. It's super tough. It's lightweight because the receiver's aluminum. You can get different sight configurations. You can put a bayonet on it, which is very important because, you know.
Because you might need to stab someone before you shoot them.
Well, hold them there. You know,
or hold them there while you shoot them with a long pointy knife.
If you don't have a shotgun with a bayonet lug, where are you supposed to put your bayonet?
That's right. You got to carry it on your knife or something, or on your knife, on your belt.
Silly. So that's, yeah.
Well, the nice thing about the Mossberg 590, like you said, it is a tactical style shotgun. But as we all know, my shotgun is very tactical styled. It's a short barrel. I do use it for hunting. I do use it for competition. And I would have no problems using it for home defense. It's kind of your all-in-one. And if you've got that barrel threaded for choke tubes, you're great out hunting with it. You're also great using that in a tactical situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. You can put slugs through it. You could take a moose up to 100 yards away with a slug out of that thing. I mean, it's great.
Yeah. No, that's a great idea. Mossberg 590. I like it. You done?
That's it.
All right. I think I will stick with the shotgun theme, just because I think Trevor and I are going to stick together here, and we'll let Owen be the oddball out here, and because he probably won't pick a shotgun next. Well, he might. Anyway, I think I'm going to go... I mean, my first choice was going to be, you know, a Mossberg pump-action shotgun as well, but seeing as Trevor once again has pulled the rug out from underneath me, I'm going to go with an Ithaca 37. Again, 12-gauge pump-action shotgun, tried... proven, reliable, solid.
I expected you to go Winchester.
No, I do like the Defender, the 1300. It is a good shotgun as well. But if you go back and just kind of look at the way they're designed, I like the Ithaca design better. And the Ithaca just seems to have a more proven track record, and seems to me anyway, this is my opinion here, not based on anything else other than what I see on the interwebs, just seems to me to be a more reliable, more sturdy platform. And I would do something very similar with it as I've done with my 500. I would have the barrel at about 20 inches, threaded for choke tubes, which is a simple vent rib with a bead on the end. And I would use that for bird hunting. I would use that for moose hunting, deer hunting. Around here, if you're out hunting and you're doing it right, you don't need to take a shot longer than 100 yards. And if you can't put a 12-gauge slug into a 6-inch pie plate, which is about the size of the vitals of a deer around here, at 100 yards, well, then you need a lot more practice, I think, in my opinion. So, you know, I think it's a gun that would put food on the table. And at the same time, the way that I would have it configured, it would work okay for competitions, and it would work okay for bird hunting as well, taking things out of the air. So, you know, I think that's what I would go with.
Interesting. Not something I would have ever considered.
You should look into it a bit more. I've been toying with the idea. I mean, not really. Before I figured out that the Mossberg 500 was the gun that I wanted, the Ithaca was a close second. I've always really liked the Ithaca shotguns. They're sturdy. They're built right.
With one other point I wanted to make with the 590 over the 870, and that's the loading. Feeding. Yeah, the feeding port is way big, and there's no lifter in the way.
Right. Yep, that's a good point. That's why, that's why I've gone with the Mossberg in real life over the 870 clones. All right, so that brings us back to Owen. Owen, second choice there, bud. What are you eyeing?
Well, I'm going to stick with the shotgun theme as well.
Okay, and can I guess what you're going to take?
Sure.
KSG?
No.
Oh, really? Again, blown out of the water here. All right.
I think he's going to go with his Benelli.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. I'm torn right now to go with a gun I have handled but don't own. And a gun that I have two guns that I have handled both of them, but I do not own either one. And I'll just say what both of them are, though it's really for the same reasons. Though I'm leaning towards an 870,
right?
Mag. Just because I like the ability to shoot 3.5 inch.
Now, that's a good option to have, especially you being a goose hunter.
That's right.
Being able to shoot the 3.5 inch magnums, yeah, out of a pump action, that's going to knock you back a bit harder, but you're a big man. Yep. You can take care of that.
I've done it before.
Yep.
So the nice thing about the A70 is then you can pull off your 28 inch goose barrel and stick on an 18 inch, tactical barrel. And that sort of thing, so you can now double purpose it that way.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point.
You know, and of course, 870s have a pile of aftermarket parts if you want to, soup it all up or whatever. The other gun that I'm kind of tossing back and forth, and it's really the same reason, is the Stevens 350.
Right. I understand why, because you've handled it, and it's not a bad gun. I would probably advise you to go with the 870.
Yeah.
Simply because the Stevens is kind of the lower end of Savage. Yes. And the 870, while it's not at its peak of manufacturing, you know what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah,
quality
I know what you're
control,
saying.
Right?
Yeah.
Still good guns. And there is enough aftermarket parts that you would be able to get it into good running order should you encounter any of their little gremlins.
That's right. And Stevens, having said that, the Stevens shotguns are rugged.
It's true. They are
built. And I know the ones I've handle well. I really, really like them. I can see myself picking one up at some point in the future. But right now I'd probably go 870.
You'll have to play with mine when you're up here next. I've got it all tacti-cooled out now. It's full of Magpul furniture, and I had the factory barrel cut down to match the end of my +4 extension, threaded with chokes. It's
cool.
It's a nice length.
Yeah. Is it pistol grip?
No,
it was, but it's not now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, shortly after I put the 870 Magpul stock on, I got looking at air stock adapters for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I may end up going back to a pistol grip for fun. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. So that's probably what I go with. Again, versatile. I can hunt with it. I can use it for defense. It can, And again, pump action over semi, just because it's just more reliable.
Yeah.
If this is the last gun I got to have, I will take the pump. So
good point about the barrel swapping too, because I had that going for a while with my 870. I had the 18.5-inch police barrel, mm-hmm. and then I had the factory 28-inch barrel. So I could have, you know.
Yep.
Cool. Okay.
Back to you, Trev.
CSA VZ58.
Yep. All right. What is it?
30 caliber. It's a semi-automatic rifle that looks very similar to an AK-47. It's got one of them there banana clips, basically cut a man in half. it's 7.62 by 39, which I really enjoy that round. You know, inside of 300 meters all day, no problem. Lots of knockdown power, 123 grain projectile, 30 caliber. Ammunition is still available everywhere. Both corrosive and non-corrosive. You can purchase soft point for hunting. You can load your own. You can store this stuff forever. They're I believe as accurate as an AR-15. With the 18.5-inch barrel on the non-restricted version, lots of velocity to carry those rounds out to 300 yards for sure. The magazines, of course, right now in Canada are restricted to 5 rounds, but you can get the conversion kit on them to shoot pistol mags, which will allow you to use 10 rounds. The reports are that they're hit and miss as far as reliability goes when you can convert them. I wouldn't bother. I would just leave it as is, 5 rounds. And if ever we were in a situation where our laws changed, well, great. You know, I'd have those full capacity magazines. I had the CZ858, loved it. The CSA VZ58 is the same gun, only nicer fit and finish.
And non-restricted as opposed to prohibited.
Exactly. Comes from the factory with black furniture, M4 style stock on it, collapsible pistol grip, you know. The only downside to it is mounting optics can be a challenge. You can get a scope mount that you need to drill and tap the receiver for, or you can mount a red dot optic on a modified handguard. But, great for plinking, great for hunting. You know, I don't think I would want to shoot a moose with one. I'm sure you could, but deer,
oh, easily, no problem.
7.62 by 39, and lots of deer have been taken with SKSs over the years.
Yep.
So this round will dispatch deer no problem. One of my favorite platforms. Always has been.
Yeah, it is a good choice. Very good choice.
Well, and it's on the list. I will have one. Ever since the CZ858 turned prohib, I was like, that's it. I got to get me a CSA VZ58. Just for the hypocrisy.
Just for the hypocrisy. No, and you're right, though. I mean, you might as well get one. If they go prohib, well, at least you had one. And, you know, hopefully they don't ever, but we need to fight. And we can't fight by selling all of our guns and giving up. So, yeah. All right. Well, I guess we're on to my third choice. And I don't think it'll come as much of a surprise to anyone. But it will be a 22 caliber rifle. No surprise. I'm going to stick with my Marlin 795. I'm a 22 guy. I just don't think I could go through the rest of my life without having a 22 rifle. So I know we could, you know, play the game. Oh, money is no object. Ammunition will always be plentiful. But in a more realistic sense, that's probably not the case. I have a lot of 22 ammunition, and I know up here right now it's quite plentiful, and I'll still be able to get it for quite some time. So long as everything stays status quo, if these are the guns we get for the rest of our lives, the gun that I enjoy the most, I've got an AR, I've got a Glock, I've got the Ruger SR9, I've got 22 pistols, I've got shotguns. The gun I enjoy the most, it gives me the most pleasure to go out and have fun with and play with, it's my Marlin 795.
Because you're recoil sensitive.
It could be that. Could be that I don't like the noise. It could be that I like the inherent accuracy of the 22 round. It could be I like to carry a lot of ammo with me. It could be a number of reasons.
could pretend to be offended. And
I could pretend to be that, but no, I like it better this way because it makes you look like the jerk.
I don't need your help to look like a jerk. I can do it all by myself.
Yes, you can.
Thank you.
It's a perfect poaching gun, and obviously I wouldn't use it for poaching, but in a without rule of law situation and I needed to hunt, my 50,000 rounds of 22 ammo is going to last me a lot longer than a couple crates of 7.62x39. And I can take a lot more animals, and if the situation ever gets to that, I'm going to have a lot more fun out in the woods, in my opinion anyway, for me, because I enjoy the 22 with my 22 than I am with a centerfire rifle. So that's why I'm going with the 7.95.
Did you mention both mag options?
That's true. Yep, I do have options. I have 7-round mags, I have 10-round mags, and I have 25-round mags. So, again, I have a large capacity, you know, versatility there in capacity. I can carry a little or I can carry a lot. So, I guess that brings us to Owen. And, Owen, you get your final pick of this draft. What are you going to pick for your final firearm?
This is brutal. Because I so want to pick a 22 as well.
Well, you can. You just can't pick the semi-automatic Marlins.
Yeah. No, I realize. But I don't
think... Well, by Matthew's logic, you couldn't take 10 22s either.
No, it's a completely different platform. What are you talking about?
If you take a Glock, all polymer, everything is off the table.
That's right.
Well, I just because I can't see myself not having a pistol... I am going to pick a pistol. I would probably go with a SIG P226 or P229, one or the other.
Yeah, I can see that. Those are good guns. A lot of
they're it's the only thing left because with Glocks with the polymer frames out and fired out. And
1911s are still out there floating around. Just saying.
Yeah, leave my dead body. Yeah, that's what it would be, too, if I was carrying one of those.
Because it would jam on you, probably. Yeah.
No, yeah, I probably would go with a SIG P226. Or 9, one or the other. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, the 226 and the 229, they're only slightly different in size. Is that
the only difference? Yeah, it would carry one in 9mm. You can get them in different calibers, but I'd carry 9mm.
Right.
And, P229, I think it's a little shorter slide. I'm not sure if the grip is shorter or not, but I know the slide is you know, the frame is a little shorter.
Gotcha.
Out front, but I had a B226 copy, Norinco copy, as my first handgun, actually. Mm-hmm. I sold it.
Wasn't that double action trigger pull just awesome?
Oh, yes. I think it was 53 and a half pounds. Yeah. it was heavy, but I got used, you know, I did start to get used to it, and I almost wish I could shoot it again just to see, now that I know how to shoot,
mm-hmm.
just to try it again. I think a lot of people have that regret with their first pistols. They get something, and then they don't really know what they're doing, and they go, man, this pistol's junk. I can't hit anything with it, and they go, they go buy something else, and then get some training, and then
they learn how to shoot. Yeah,
and then they can learn. Then they learn to shoot, and then they go, "Oh, wow! I wonder if I could actually shoot that first gun well."
Well, you can pick up another one. I think they're only $350. So
yeah, they're not real expensive. So maybe someday I will buy another one just for fun. But yeah, no, that's probably what I would go with.
Yeah, it's a good choice. I toyed with that over the CZ. It was either the SIG or the CZ. The reason why I went with the CZ is the conversion kit for the CZ. I can shoot 22 through it. I do believe SIG also does have conversion kits for theirs. I don't know that for a fact, so I wanted to pick one that I knew for a fact I could shoot my 22 through.
just looking at pictures, I want to say that the CZ generally has a better height over bore than the SIG. The big thing I don't like about the SIGs is the height.
Yep.
The grip, but, you know, from the bore. Is it
because of the muzzle flip or because of the perceived, or not the perceived, because of the offset of the sights for up close targets? What's your issue?
No, it wouldn't be any sort of offset. It's the grip between the grip and the bore. So it's the bore axis. as opposed to...
Yes, you get more muzzle flip with a high bore axis. Muzzle flip,
and now that because I shoot a Glock and I'm used to my hand being almost directly behind the slide, basically, it just looks really odd to me. It's like the very first thing I look at when I pick up a pistol. Mm-hmm. How high can I get my hand on this gun?
I'm the exact same way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anything other than, I mean, a Glock, I think, is one of the best for...
Yeah, I think so, too.
So any other gun that I just look at and go, wow, I wonder if I can control that. But, I mean, again, because I know how to shoot now...
I'm sure you could. It would be fun to try. We should see if we can find someone with a SIG close by that would let us shoot their gun for an afternoon.
Well, I could probably ask the guy who I sold mine to, because I know him, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, I think that was... I kind of... Happy with my choices, kind of not happy, but...
Yeah, well, I look at my list, I'm like, that's not what I was anticipating it looking like. I was kind of hoping to be first instead of last.
Yeah, Trevor's is exactly what the rest of us want.
Yeah, and probably nobody, and probably people who know me are not surprised by anything on my list.
Yeah.
No, probably not. Well, we'll have to try this again sometime in reverse order. See how Trevor fares.
There you go.
All right. Well, that was cool. Let's move on to some listener feedback.
Starting out, we've got some audio here from Jason Philp.
Yes, we do. So let me play that, and we can talk about it here in just a second.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and good night, podcast listeners. It's just a quote that anti-gun guy Jim Carrey. Just wanted to reply to, wow, how often can a guy get called out and how early on a podcast? Less than 2 minutes in, and Trevor's calling me out. So here it is from Alberta, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Philp calling in. Good to see that Trevor finally stepped up and approved some money for a clay target thrower, or a trap that throws clay targets so they can shoot skeet, or whatever Owen wants to do up there in Restigouche or Gucci or however you spell it. Surprised you took so much time to find a good topic such as introduction to children into shooting. Was a little bit surprised by a couple things. A, Trevor not turning his phone off. Could have discussed the TAR-10, the TAR-10, that beautiful walnut AR-10. Slightly greats of a good side-by-side with ejectors. Pretty much probably keep up Trevor's reloading in that big open port Remington Versa Huma. What? If you could just get that in walnut, Trevor, I'm sure we could talk. But if you are ever stuck for a topic again, I'd sure love to hear more about open carrying in Utah and how Canadians can do it. But thanks to Jeff Reese showing once again good ideas coming from Alberta and introducing children to the shooting sports. You may not have seen on my Facebook page, if you see it, that I've got two daughters and 5 and 8. The 8-year-old's been shooting since she was 5, and the 5-year-old got a Daisy Red Ryder BB gun in pink for her birthday. Broke the balloon on the first shot. Couldn't be much prouder papa than that. As for a shotgun, Trevor. A 410, really, dude? If you could shoot a 410, I could see somebody getting it for a kid, but can't see that happening either. Go for a 28-gauge. Similar ballistic performance to a 12-gauge. Similar recoil to a 410. A lot more prestige in owning it. And if anybody has a spare Remington 1100 and 410, or 410, what for? Hey, 28 gauge for me. My daughter would love to have one, but it's got to be one that's rough. She's got to cut it short and paint it pink. Kids at the range for shotguns can push the button for the clays, keep score, calling hits and misses, picking up hauls, and man, you want to reward the behavior that you want repeated. Recording from the inside of a truck in Alberta, Canada, just reminding you that the Alberta Sporting Clays is still subsidizing juniors in shooting, half-price shooting in any competition in Alberta for members of the Alberta Sporting Clays Association for juniors. Just a little update, too, from the Canadian National Sporting Clays Association. We have a new president, probably one of the first female presidents of the shooting sports. Christy Richardson's our president, and her email address is available on the cnsca.ca webpage. Please check it out. Send her any communication you have regarding upcoming shoots, registering your targets, or participating in our events. Thanks, guys. Great podcast. Well, good. Well, if you guys get Bolivar and Owen together and you guys stay away, great podcast. Thanks from Alberta. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Lovely. Thank you, Jason Philp.
Did you hear the road hum?
Yes.
He must be driving like mud tires or something.
I think it's mandatory, though.
Could probably be. Yeah. So any comments, gentlemen? Any rebuttals or replies or anything to that?
Nothing we can say in the air.
I'm with him on the 410. Of course, it was I brought up the 410 fallacy to begin with, so of course I'm with him on that. But yeah, 28 gauge or 20 gauge.
That's 28 gauge is really affordable and easy to find.
It really isn't. That's absolutely correct. That's why I suggested 20 gauge instead of 28. But 28 gauge is out there. You can find it, but you do got to look for it. It's like 16 gauge. 16 gauge is another really sweet caliber, you know, gauge for a shotgun, and you know, it's nice, but it's hard to find. I think if you're not going to go with 12, go with 20, and if 20 is too much, well, learn to shoot a 20.
4 year old, well, she's now 5.5. But when she was 4, she shot my 12 gauge.
Yeah, that's probably not the something she would do all afternoon.
No. She fired it once and had, that was enough.
Right.
Yeah. Imagine.
But yeah, she didn't not like it.
That's like cool. Yep. Anyway, thank you again, Jason. So
yes, thank you, Jason.
Yes, thank you.
I look forward to our next encounter.
Well, I'm at the end there. I thought that was a thing. I'm going to take that as a compliment. So.
Yes, you would. Trevor and I, meanwhile, kicked under the bus. Or the truck.
I'm ashamed to say this, but I'm actually going to be shooting a lot of trap this summer. Now that McIntyre's taken, and Muffin, that Jason McIntyre's taken over the trap section, I told him that I would be out on Tuesday nights to help him. So I'm going to learn how to operate the machine and how to keep score and all that stuff in case he needs a fill in some night if he can't make it.
Are you going to be able to do a bunch of shooting too, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm going to keep shooting skeet.
Yeah, you do that. I'm going to shoot trap, you shoot skeet. Matthew, what are you going to shoot?
I'm going to shoot clays.
Nothing as usual.
Funny.
Truth be told, sporting clays really appeals to me. Actually, it sounds a lot like, 3D archery. You're taking a walk in the woods. You're shooting targets at unknown distances, I mean, I'd like to try sporting clays. It's just that I got to learn how to shoot stuff out of the air. Like, I don't follow through, and the whole eye dominance thing is really messing me up. But
yeah, I can see how you'd have a challenge there. But it is fun. I really enjoy shooting stuff out of the air. And I know Owen does, too.
I don't care how many clay birds you can shoot out of the air. When you pop that partridge doing 50 kilometers an hour out of the air one time with a ridiculously long shot with your little Mossberg with a 20-inch barrel, that's what matters. Little clay pigeons, you can't eat those, man. You did the real thing.
Well, you can eat them. They're just really, really crunchy.
Yeah. You got to have a lot of mustard.
I'm
just saying. It's one thing to go to the range and shoot little discs out of the air. It's another to go in the woods and apply that skill when it matters, when you're putting meat on the table.
Oh, yeah.
True, absolutely. But I learned that skill at the range shooting clay discs. So, that's where you got to learn. You learn at the range. You learn on objects that doesn't matter if you hit them or you miss them. And then you go in the woods when you go hunting, and then hopefully everything lines up just right for that beautiful shot.
Mm. So, and yes, Jason, I will be shooting trap with my Versamax.
As you should.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with your Versamax, man.
Nope.
Don't let these really walnut snobs get to you, Trev. We got to, us plastic guys got to stick together.
Please. There's one gun in the house with wood on it. I'm, proud of that fact.
Yep.
I can't believe it. We're actually backing each other up on this one.
No kidding.
Usually it's we're looking for opportunities to throw each other under the bus.
Show's not over, dude. That's show's not over.
We'll get there.
All right. Well, this next email, who's going to take? Matthew, why don't you take this next one?
Sure. From Rob. He goes, "Hi, guys. I hope I can help end the spitting match."
Huh? He goes.
He goes.
He goes, "Hi, guys."
He goes, "Hi, guys." He writes, "Hi, guys." Seriously?
That's better. He writes, "Hi, guys." Yeah.
He goes, "Hi, guys." And Trevor is going to go, as I hang up on him here in a second. "I hope I can help end the spitting match over Facebook likes with the Polite Society. I'm a big fan of both Polite Society and Slam Fire Radio podcasts. As a U.S. citizen, I'm partial to my American podcast, but my wife of 10 years is a Canadian citizen. I obviously like Canadians, too." Yes, I bet you do. "I listen to both Trevor's podcasts for the content, hosts, and because I enjoy the accent." You know what I'm talking about, eh? So take off, you hoser. So let's get down to reality and accuracy with the Facebook likes. I really enjoy Paul, Rob, and Rachel, but Slamfire Radio is ahead by a long shot. The math is very simple. Polite Society has more Facebook likes, but when you factor in 236 versus 57 episodes, and a population approximately 300 million versus 30 million, Slamfire is kicking some serious Facebook butt. I'm just saying. That comes to us from Rod in the Hudson Valley, New York, and he goes, P.S. One good thing about Canadian gun laws, it makes my New York State gun laws look pretty awesome. I bet they do. And that's actually funny. I never thought of it that way before, but you're absolutely right. When you look at it's the per capita, right? It's likes per capita. It's not likes per you know, just overall likes. Yeah, that's what I'm going to use so I don't cry myself to sleep anymore.
There you go.
Okay, so Trevor, do you want to take this next one? Because it's
not really.
Really long, so I'll read it.
Yep.
It's from Sharp97. Who says, hey guys. He goes, hey guys. So you want to know more about the IDF. I know Trevor isn't a fan of politics, and you guys are a gun podcast, so I will try to avoid politics. I'm a Canadian, but after high school, I took a leap year, as is usual in my circles, and headed to Israel for a year of religious studies. Whilst over there, I met with a recruiter for the pre-army program geared towards foreign volunteers, and a year later, I was signed up to join. After getting through the notorious Israeli red tape and a couple months of waiting, I headed to the desert to learn to be a combat soldier. Now, I don't know this, but from what I've heard about the USA Army, basic is something like 2 years. In Israel, basic training is 4 months. I only did two because I came in with a late draft. Regular units have another 4 months for advanced training, while special units go for as much as 15 additional months of training. Trevor, you made a comment about how I own a Tavor. I wish. I am still trying to get my PAL. So if any of you want to accept the Tavor from GOC for me, that would be great.
I will, yeah. If you win it, you just send that right over to me. I will help you out. I'll even keep that thing warm for you, as long as you send a crate of ammo, too.
As for army gear, you get the norm uniform, boots, and belt, but you also get issued an Israeli tourniquet. Basic is as you would expect, a lot of running, sit-ups, push-ups, saluting, and classes on basic army stuff. My first weapon issued was a short M16 with a MAPRO. I don't even know what that is.
It's a red dot sight.
Oh, okay. That lasted about a month. Then I managed to upgrade to an M4 with a Trijicon ACOG and a bipod, because my job was sharpshooter. My kit was an old harness rig from around 1973, got upgraded to a proper vest during advanced training, 4 mags, 1 double mag, a cleaning kit, a sleeping bag, a helmet and helmet cover, a camo shroud, a camelback, a multi-purpose blanket, and a bunch of odd ends that I don't really remember. Advanced training focused on urban warfare, but also on the specialties in my unit, such as 60mm mortar, MK-19, M2 machine gun, FN mag, Negev light machine gun, radio, and was concluded with a 40-kilometer march to earn my Barrett.
I think like it's Beret.
I think it's supposed to be Beret.
Yeah, that's okay, though.
Well, how I would spell Beret.
I wonder if he got calluses from all the working.
I don't know.
He might have.
I'm pretty sure that's not how you spell Beret.
It's okay.
Anyway, that doesn't matter. We're going to continue. My unit was stationed in Judea and Samaria.
Probably spelled it to compensate for your pronunciation.
Probably.
My pronunciation? Yeah. Where we watched the road for IEDs, rock throwers, and suspicious activity in general. We manned a local checkpoint and carried out arrests for Shabak, the Israeli version of the FBI. Because I volunteered, I only did 14 months of service, but most of the people with me were doing 2 to 3 years in the Army. Hope this is what you guys were looking for. I can't wait to hear the next show. Sharp 97. He says, when is the next time you're coming to Ontario?
Not sure, but when we do, we'll definitely got to hook up with you because you sound like an interesting fellow.
Yes.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Well,
it is neat, yeah. Well, it's
fun in the sense that, you know, you're doing grueling labor out in the middle of the hot desert sun, eating probably MREs and not getting enough water, and you know,
it's fun to
but
me.
But fun.
I'm pretty sure that Army U.S. basic is less than 2 years, though.
I think
it's less like than 6 years. Months.
Yeah.
I think Canadian basic is about 6 months ish.
I don't know. Maybe not even that, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that much.
But still, sounds like a lot of fun. You got to shoot a lot of guns and blow up a lot of stuff and mortars and machine guns and 40-kilometer marches. Woo! Yeah, I'm out for that, but the rest of it, I'm in. Cool. Right. Well, thanks for writing in there, Sharp. And like I said, we'll let you know next time we're in Ontario, and we'll definitely get together.
Trevor, cool. Do you want to take this next one?
Sure. It's from 10X. He says, gentlemen, and he gave us a link and then asked for comments.
Yes, he did. So I take it neither of you guys actually looked at the link, did you?
No, I just tried it, but of course it wouldn't open on my Kanekistan government computer.
Of course not. Well, it's a link to the third annual Parliamentary Outdoors Caucus Shooting Day, and it's where
I said come again?
Yeah, the Outdoors really? Caucus Shooting Day. Yeah. What?
Well, okay, keep going.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to reserve judgment until I fully understand what it is.
Right, so we don't shoot the caucus.
Right now, well, that's what I thought.
No, we don't shoot the caucus.
Outdoors. Yeah,
no,
unfortunately.
We take them shooting to the range. And basically, it's to go along with the NFA. I believe the NFA actually has a big part in doing this. And what it is, you know, you can write your MPs and say, I'm not giving you any money and I'm not gonna vote for you and blah, blah, blah. You could do that. Or you could take them to the range and introduce them to shooting and educate them on it. And obviously option B is the better way to go because it actually educates and it doesn't form walls. It tears them down. So that's basically what this is.
I remember reading about this last year, mm-hmm. actually, and hearing comments, you know, and quotes from some of the MPs and different people that were there. And I think it's quite a good thing.
I think it is, too. I think it works quite well. Like I said, this is their third annual one. They have been doing this for 3 years, and it's just a better way. You don't have to yell and fight and scream. You take them to the range and shoot. I mean, how many times have either of you taken somebody to the range who was originally an ante, and when you get to the range, when they're done, they're like, that was a lot of fun, and you kind of see them starting to change sides. I know I've done it several times. Hmm. So
not an anti, but I've taken neutrals.
Okay, well, neutrals, sorry. So anyway, that's what it is. Thank you for sending that in, 10X.
We'll put this link up somewhere, maybe on the Facebook page.
Nah, I doubt it. That's a lot of work.
Okay.
Trevor could do it, maybe. But it didn't work for him, so yeah.
Just copy and paste.
Yeah. Jeez.
I could always do it on my other computer, but like you said, it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
I'll do it. Google it. I'll do it.
All right. Owen's going to do it right now, live, on the show. Actually, he's not.
I am doing this live on the show that you will hear tomorrow.
Maybe, if I get to it that quick.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Anyway, thanks, 10X.
Well, that wasn't really fair for Trevor. Trevor, do you want to bring the next one, too?
What do you mean, fair? I chose wisely.
You did choose.
All right. Well, it's... Matt's got to read this one because it's to Matt.
Well, I don't want to read it if it's to me. Read it to me, Trevor.
It's addressed to you.
Yes.
No, you don't read my mail.
He would have been
Matt. This is from Spencer. He says, Matt, since you don't want to read a lot, see? That's why I wanted you to read it to me. Since you don't want to read a lot, here's a short answer. Steel-cased ammo is usually cheap ammo, so they also cut costs on the bullet. Instead of a copper jacket over lead, they use a steel jacket with a copper wash on it. That steel jacket is what causes the increased barrel wear and has nothing to do with the steel case. It's just that they tend to go together in cheap ammo. But you are right, the ammo is made by Tula, not Tool. They just label it Tula ammo all run together, so I thought it was just Tool. Well, turns out I'm just a tool there, Spencer. But thank you for writing that in. And I didn't have to read a whole lot. It was only about 6 lines, so thank you. And it answered my question. I had no idea that they would actually use steel jackets on the projectiles. To me, that sounds kind of silly because the barrel's made out of steel, and if the projectile's made out of steel, that's going to be a lot of wearing. But obviously it is because...
I suppose with the right alloys, it would still be softer.
It could be, yeah. I'm not a scientist. I have no idea, but you're probably right because you're smarter than I am. So, but anyway... Yeah, thank you, Spencer. That did save me a lot of reading. I do appreciate that. I'm sure the listeners do too, because now they know the rest of the story.
And because you weren't going to look it up.
I certainly wasn't.
All right, this next one is from Winnipeg, Tony.
Wait, I don't get one?
No, you don't. He says, hey guys, not sure if this is something that warrants an entire show topic for discussion or just in regular email, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on the subject. I recently got into a discussion on the internet with an auntie with a perspective I haven't really encountered before. And he posts a link to the discussion. He says, basically, the auntie believed in gun control because they believed that guns in the home cause homeowners more harm than good. When I asked for sources, they did provide them, but after reading them, I believe they mostly were written from a clinical perspective for doctors to discuss the issue with patients. I assume the patients have a variety of issues, mental and the like. I did a lot of research and reading about the subject yesterday, which I posted in the rebuttal in the link above. Just wanted to hear your guys' two cents. And that's from Tony.
I actually did a bit of thinking and research and reading about this afternoon, too. And I didn't know this, I learned that it's actually true that having guns in your home increases the risk of someone accidentally getting shot 4 times to 1, or it's 4 times more likely.
Well, duh. if you have guns in the home, then the chances are going to increase. It's just like having a knife in your home is going to increase the chance you're going to get cut.
It's like having a pool in the backyard. If you have a pool, there's more chance that you're going to get drowned.
Every car accident I was in occurred while I was in a car.
Every single time. Yep.
So every single time.
Here it is, though.
It's also statistically true that 100% of divorces start with marriage.
That's right. Marriage is the number one cause of divorce.
That's right. That's right. So in the U.S., a gun is 4 times as likely to accidentally injure or kill someone than it is to be used in self-defense. That was stunning to me. I didn't know that. The other part I knew, obviously, you know, if there's guns in the home, obviously there's a higher chance of getting shot because, well, there's guns in the home. If there's no guns in the home, you can't get shot. But I didn't know that it's 4 times as likely to be used accidentally as it is to be used in self-defense. I thought self-defense would have been the higher number there, but it's not. Now, like I said, this is in the U.S., and this covers all of the states in a vast number of different jurisdictions, different gun laws, different storage laws. You know, you get the difference between, you know, New York State and, say, Michigan. I'm just pulling out two states there. You know, one of them's going to have very strict storage laws, and, you know, most people are going to abide by those, and you might see a lower accidental shooting rate in that state than you would in, say, a state that had zero safe storage laws. This is not me saying gun control is good. I want to make that perfectly clear here. I'm not saying gun control is good because generally gun control isn't. It's about control. It's not about guns. We all know this. I mean, we've been saying this for as long as the show has been around. But safe storage, and I'm not saying safe storage laws. I'm just saying safe storage. Safe storage is a good idea. If you don't have that gun on your hip, and if you're not under, it's not under your constant care and control, it's my opinion that gun should be unloaded and stored in a manner that an unauthorized person can't access it.
I'll take it one step further as well, Matthew. Accidents happening in the home with guns can be avoided. Shootings in the home with guns can be avoided as well if the people have been trained on the proper handling and use of a firearm. A lot of the shootings that happen at home happen by unauthorized access.
They're accidents. Absolutely.
We all know people that have had ADs in the home because they were cleaning the gun or dry firing and got confused and put live ammo in the gun, but no one was hurt because they were at least following one of the 4 safety rules. They pointed it, you know, yes, they had their finger in the trigger guard, but no one was hurt because the gun was pointed in a safe direction. Yeah, so...
Well, that's the thing. You raise a good point there, Trevor. Like we just said a couple minutes ago, having just the very nature of the fact that you have guns in the house increases the likelihood of that gun going off when it's not supposed to. I mean, we follow all the rules as best we can, but like you said, everybody's going to have that numpty moment and whoops, But like you said, there's four rules. You can break a couple of them. As long as you don't break them all, you're not going to hurt anybody. And that's the important thing. You need to make sure that you're always on those rules. Keep the gun in a safe direction. Finger off the trigger till you're ready to shoot. Know what your target is and what's beyond it. And assume that every gun is loaded, just to, as a refresher for everybody out there.
And you should teach that to anyone who is in the home, whether you think they have access or not. Because it's been proven that children can access their parents' firearms when the parents don't think they can.
That's right. And here's something else to think about on top of that. Accidental pool drownings each year in the United States, 3,300. That's over 9 per day on an average. And pools can't be used to repel home invaders.
But you know what?
Neither Unless you have hot a dogs.
Well, neither can hot dogs, and hot dogs kill more children in Canada every year than guns.
That's right.
We don't have any hot dog control.
That's right. Guns serve a useful purpose. Guns protect more often than not. We're talking just in the home here. If you take guns out of just the home and look at guns as an overall, globally, guns protect way more than they offend.
Than hot dogs.
Way more than hot dogs. Hot dogs are lousy for defending yourself Protection. With. So, yeah. Anyway, just, you know, it's kind of disappointing to read those stats and to see that, wow, you know, guns actually are used more accidentally than they are for good in the home. But there's a reason for that, and it is something that we can work on, and it is something that we can improve. So, educate and, you know, help people understand that just because they got a gun doesn't mean the responsibility ends. The responsibility is just starting. So, anyway.
I was just looking up some statistics here. And this is from the National Lightning Safety Institute. Okay. And looking at these, you're more likely to get hit by lightning than to be accidentally get shot.
Yeah, I didn't actually say that stat. Accidental gun deaths each year is 600 in the United States. And that's not just in the home. By the way, I could not find one for just in the home. That 600 is all accidental gun deaths in the United States. So that included in that is all hunter mishaps, you know, range mishaps, people just goofing off in a gravel pit, you know, not aware of their target, you know. That's all accidental gun deaths. So it's going to be a lot less for, you know, accidental gun deaths in the home. I don't have the stat in front of me, but the number of children, and this is actual children, not children by the standards that the Brady campaign uses. They use anybody under the age of 20 and call that a child. And if you look at that, every, you know, from 15 to 20, that's 80% of their gun deaths. And they call those all child gun deaths. Those are all gang-related crimes. If you look at actual child gun deaths, it's like 14 a year, I think, United States, which is a minuscule number. I'm not saying that, you know, those deaths don't mean anything. Of course they mean something. And we got to fight to you know, educate and to prevent those as best we can. But taking all the guns away doesn't save those 14 lives. What that does is it endangers all the thousands of other lives that now don't have guns to protect them.
Yep.
So it literally is the lesser of two evils to have guns around to protect yourself. Yep. Anyhow, I think we can move on.
Okay, Trevor, you can take this last one.
Woo! All right, this comes to us from Mark M. He says, "Hey, guys, I love your show. It's great to hear people that think like I do about firearms. I was beginning to think I was the only one who thought that way. Now I know there are more of us around this country. Your squirrels make me laugh, and I love." He saw our squirrels. Nothing funny about our squirrels. They're majestic.
They're majestic.
And I love how you carry on about the 9mm versus 45 jokes, because shooting twice is silly. That's why I use a 30-06. And I love learning about IPSC stages and all the interesting things that are involved in them.
I think that part there is sarcasm, but anyway, we'll carry on.
Just so you know, I have joined both the CSSA and the NFA and donated money for these worthy causes of this VZ-858, or that's actually the CZ-858, sorry, and the Swiss Arms family of rifles. While I have neither of these guns, if we don't stop them now, my Garand will be next. You got it, Mark. thanks for all the hard work in putting in the podcast together, and I will keep listening. Mark M. From Edmonton, Alberta. I probably should have recorded this from a truck, I guess. A.K.A. Rifleman 1911. P.S. All the Air 15 talk has made me go out and dress up my Just Right carbine. It's all your fault. At least that's what I told my wife when she saw the bill. And that's fine. We're here to take that bullet for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can throw us under the bus with your wife anytime. The Slamfire crew made me do it. Probably won't work in court. But in the court of the house with the wife, you can definitely use that.
And now, it's okay if you don't actually have a JR carbine. It's okay if you have a JR carbine. It's just saying.
Right.
Trevor said it wrong.
I said it the way I wanted to say it, so bite me. Mark, you can get yourself in more trouble. I'm telling you to buy an actual AR-15, Mark.
You really should.
I'm not giving you a choice. At least you've got 3 months to get it done and get back to us.
Who just That's had awesome deals on SFRC. The NEA? SFRC. Go to SFRC and get one.
Less than $900.
Yeah. Crazy prices right now.
If I didn't have two and had no money, I would have bought another one.
Tell me about it.
Yep.
Yep.
Cool. Well, thank you, Mark, for writing in. We appreciate your email, and we certainly do enjoy entertaining you.
So, any shout-outs tonight, guys?
I've got a plug for S&J Hardware. This week, Mo was talking about the excellent service that he's gotten twice in a row now from Simon at S&J Hardware. And now Luke Giroux sent me a text a while ago, also bragging about the excellent service that he got from S&J Hardware. I've told my S&J Hardware story a couple of times, probably, because I have a tendency to repeat myself. And
what's that?
Yeah, if you haven't checked out S&J Hardware yet, if you're looking for AR parts or shotgun parts, go over and check them out. And apparently, you'll be really happy with the customer service.
Very good.
Cool. All right, so be sure to check out one or both of our National Firearms Associations, the CSSA and the NFA. Visit us over on GOC forums and like us on Facebook. We are now at 1,004.
Woohoo! Thank over you, 1,000.
Thank you, Edith.
Edith?
Styx's wife, Edith, the Mad German. She hooked us up with a whole bunch of likes by inviting all of Germany or something.
Nice. We'll take Germany. Welcomen to all the German I know. Oh, and what's the name? That means what's your name? That's all I know.
Okay. You can say danke. That's right. That's thank you.
Oh, that's true. Danke and something else. Auf Wiedersehen.
I had a goal once to figure out how to ask for a beer in like 16 different languages, but I got like 3, and then I asked for a beer and then I'd start drinking and then I forgot.
All right, be sure to check out all the other great shows on both the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network and the Crusader Podcast Network. All right. Well, I guess that's the end of the show. So, folks, help control the pet population.
Have your pet spayed or neutered.
I'm Bob Barker.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
How does this work again? What show is this again?
It's okay. Slam Ethos or something.
Slam Ethos.
Slam Apocalypse.
Slam Apocalypse.
Slam Apocalypse.
Okay.